لا نبي بعده أما بعد.
So yesterday we went a bit over time. So inshallah, if anyone wishes, the books are there. You can read about the day of Qiyamah, how you can prepare for the day of Qiyamah and the scenes of the day of Qiyamah. Time doesn't permit to go into detail. Coming on to the 10th juz of the Quran. Before we come on to the 10th juz, very quickly we'll just recap. Lesson 1 was Quran. Lesson 2 was Taqwa. Lesson 3 was Sunnah. Lesson 4 was
Sacrifice.
Lesson 5 was
Value of life.
Lesson 6 was Lokya kahenge, don't fear that. Lesson 7 was
Fearing Allah.
Intoxicants.
Oh, yeah.
Lesson 8 was
Pride.
Yesterday's lesson was preparation for the day of Qiyamah. Coming on to the 10th juz of the Quran, we need to understand one principle. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in a hadith where he said, "Inna mina nasi nasan mafatihan lil khair." We hear many people, maybe from Miami, wherever they may be, from speaking about keys, major keys and keys to success. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you and I the key to success. And he told you and I, "Inna mina nasi nasan." Through these words, we also understand that not every person is going to be the owner of this key. He said, from humanity, from mankind, nasan, there will be some individuals who possess this key. What is this key? A person holds the key to goodness. A person himself is a key to goodness. A person himself is an avenue and a channel for a person to do goodness. And he is a lock for haram. Rasulullah ﷺ is telling us, from amongst people there are those who are the keys to goodness and there are locks to evil. But similarly, there are also people who are the keys to evil and the locks to goodness. Who are these people who are the keys to goodness and who are the people who are the keys to evil? The 10th juz of the Quran highlights for us the two categories. Allah Rabbul Izzah says, المنافقون والمنافقات بعضهم من بعض يأمرون بالمنكر وينهون عن المعروف. That the munafiqeen and the hypocrites, they would enjoin evil and forbid good. They were those people who were the keys for evil and they were locks for goodness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was an individual who was always bringing light, who was always bringing goodness, guidance, positivity. But the Quran mentions for us the hypocrites. They are people who enjoin evil and they forbid good. Then on the next page of that same surah, of Surah At-Tawbah, Allah mentions to us the characteristics of the people of Iman. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. And the believers are friends to one another. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, المؤمن للمؤمن كالبنيان يشد بعضه بعضا وشبك بين أصابعه. That one believer for the other believer is like a building. Each brick helps the other brick to strengthen the building. Each Muslim helps the other Muslim to strengthen the entire Muslim ummah. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, مثل المؤمنين في توادهم. The example of the believers in the mutual love, وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم, in the mutual mercy, in the mutual compassion. Passion, affection. مثل الجسد is an example of one body. إذا اشتكى منه عضو تداعى له سائر الجسد بالسهر والحمى. If any part of the body is in need, if any part of the body is in pain, the entire body responds, the entire body reacts. Similarly, the entire Muslim ummah is one body. If any Muslim is in pain anywhere in the world, we are supposed to feel this pain. If any Muslim is going through hardship, we are supposed to feel this hardship. أولياء بعض. We are friends of one another. Then Allah says, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. In this masjid, the translation of this doesn't even need to be made. Every Thursday, people are talking about this. Every Saturday or Sunday, people are going out reminding people about this. The lesson of the 10th juz of Quran is become an ambassador of good. Become a beacon of hidayah. Become a person who invites people towards Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one companion comes to him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa huwa bi Makkah, he was in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and this person comes to him at that time, possibly a disbeliever, and he says to him, atazamu annaka Rasulullah, do you claim to be the messenger of Allah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, yes. So then he asked the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, فَأَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ, what action is the most beloved to Allah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously he tells him, الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ, to believe in Allah is the most beloved. So he says to him, what's after that? What's next? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, that صِلَةُ الرَّحِمِ, to enjoin and maintain family ties, is most beloved to Allah. So he asked the Messenger of Allah, what's next? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says to him, "Al-amru bil ma'roof wa nahyu 'anil munkar," to enjoin the good and to forbid the evil. Then he asks the Messenger of Allah, "What does Allah hate the most?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, "Allah hates that anyone prescribe and ascribe partners with him." O Messenger of Allah, what next? Allah hates that people break family ties. O Messenger of Allah, what next? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The third most act which Allah displeases and Allah dislikes is that people leave enjoining good and forbidding evil." The lesson for us, alhamdulillah, we're all sitting here today in the masjid at a time where we could be already on the way home. Allah sees something in us. We don't choose to sit here. We are chosen to sit here. This is the house of Allah. This is the masjid. These are the palaces of Allah in this world. Not any person is allowed to enter these doors. The sign that Allah loves us is the sign, and a manifestation of that is that we are sitting here in the masjid today. But let's ask ourselves the question, am I enjoining the good and am I forbidding the evil? And under this, this is basically the umbrella of da'wah, of becoming a da'i, of calling to Allah, calling to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the mankind is in darkness, mankind is lost, mankind is drowning in the dunya, drowning in ignorance, drowning in disbelief, drowning in everything other than Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every one of us needs to make an intention. Whatever I can do within my capacity and my capability, I will become a da'i. No one's saying join a certain group and do only one form of da'wah. The message is become a person of da'wah. Become a da'i, someone who invites to Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first wahi that came on him was Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. After 3 years, no wahi is coming. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is worried, what's happened? No wahi for 3 years. After 3 years, the first wahi that descends on the Messenger alayhi salatu wasallam, who knows? Allahu Akbar. How much do we know of the deen? Come to cars, come to sports, we know everything. Come to deen, what do we know? After 3 years, the first wahi that descends onto Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, O he who covers himself, who wraps himself, Qum, stand, Fa'andhir, warn the people, invite the people, talk to the people. How can Rasulullah warn them, invite them? Wa rabbaka fakabbir, talk to them about the qudrat, the power of Allah. My brothers, the lesson of the 10th juz of the Quran is, don't worry about guidance only for yourself. Worry about your family. Worry about your community. Worry about your society. Worry about your friends. Worry about your wife. Worry about your parents. Worry about your kids. Worry about your brothers. Worry about your sisters. Don't be selfish. Become a key and an avenue for goodness. Become a beacon of guidance and hidayah. You may be performing salah, but your entire household is not performing salah. Are you giving them da'wah? Are you reminding them? Who's going to remind the ummah? So inshallah, the lesson of the 10th juz of the Quran is a lesson of da'wah. And the scholars have mentioned, in order to become a da'i to the greatest level, you have to possess 5 characteristics. And you have to know what to speak about, how to speak. So the scholars have mentioned 5 aspects which a person has to have in him in order for him to correctly give da'wah. Number 1 is ilm, knowledge. If you don't have knowledge, what are you going to give da'wah about? You tell the brother, talk about Allah. he can speak for 30 seconds, 1 minute. If you're lucky, you'll get 2 minutes. After that, he got no knowledge, so he doesn't know what to talk about. The first characteristic that he should possess is he should have sound knowledge, ilm. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he emphasized the importance of knowledge in numerous ahadith. Allah Rabbul Izzah himself in the Quran, when he spoke about knowledge, he said knowledge is divine, knowledge is from Allah, but we know the paths and the avenues through which we can acquire knowledge. Go out and seek knowledge. Number one is knowledge. Why? Because an ignorant person is only going to promote ignorance. A negative person is going to promote negativity. A positive person will promote positivity. A person of ilm will promote ilm and knowledge. Number one is knowledge. Number two is, Allahu Akbar, that when you give da'wah, don't think I'm giving da'wah so this person can come onto deen. I'm giving da'wah so this person can accept Islam. I'm giving da'wah so this person can start attending the masjid. No. Your intention for giving da'wah is solely for the sake of Allah. I'm giving da'wah for myself. I'm giving da'wah so I can speak about Allah, so the greatness of Allah can come into my heart and my life first. I'm not giving da'wah to him because I'm better than him. It has been mentioned, Ikrimah radiallahu anhu used to say, أَنَّ رَجُلًا مَرَّ بِشَجَرَةٍ تُعْبَدُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَغَضِبَ لِلَّهِ. A man walks past a tree and he sees that people are worshipping this tree apart from Allah, and he becomes angry for the sake of Allah. So he goes home, he grabs the axe and he's walking towards the tree. He says, today I'm going to cut this tree in half so that nothing can be worshipped apart from Allah. Shaitan comes and visits him on the road while he's walking in human form. And Shaitan asks him, where are you going? إِلَىٰ أَيْنِ. So he tells him, رَأَيْتُ شَجَرَةً تُعْبَدُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فَأَعْطَيْتُ لِلَّهِ أَحْدًا أَنْ أَرْكَبَ حِمَارِي وَأَخَذَ فَأْسِي وَأَتَوَجَّهُ نَحْوَهَا فَأَقْطَعْهَا. That he says, I saw this tree that was being worshipped. I made a pact with Allah that I'm going to go home, grab my axe, and I'm going to go straight to the tree and cut the tree. So Shaitan tells him, chill out, man, relax. Why are you going so hard? Let's talk about it. Let's be rational. You know what I'll do? I'll give you a little bit of money every night, and don't worry about this tree. So now he's thinking twice. Do I really want to cut the tree? The people are worshipping, it doesn't really affect me. That's them, I'm separate. They're going to be taken to task. I don't need to worry. So he agrees and he accepts the offer Shaitan proposes. And Shaitan says, okay, every night underneath your pillow, I'll leave you some money. Like the tooth fairy. I'll leave you some money every night. So the man, he accepts the deal and he's going home, he goes home. The first day there's money, the second day there's money, the third day there's money, the fourth day, you think Shaitan was going to pay him for life? The fourth day there's no money. So as soon as he sees on the fourth day there's no money, he becomes enraged. He grabs his axe and he's running towards that tree. Shaitan meets him again on the road. He says, my brother, where are you going? He says, I'm going to cut the tree. You promised to pay me, you're not paying me. He says, you know what, go. This time, even if you wish to cut the tree, you won't be able to cut the tree. So the man is shocked. Why? He said, the first time you went to cut the tree, it was solely for the sake of Allah. The second time and this time you're going to cut the tree is not for the sake of Allah, it's because you never got paid. When we give da'wah, when we do anything for the deen, it's only for Allah, it's not for nobody else. It's not for name and fame. One Arabic proverb, so amazing. كم من مشهور في الأرض مجهول في السماء. كم من مشهور في الأرض مجهول في السماء. How many people are famous in the earth? Everyone knows them, but they are unknown to the angels in the skies. And how many people are there that are known amongst the angels in the skies, but no one even knows they exist on the earth? If you want to become famous amongst the angels. If you want to become known amongst the angels. Listen, the first thing was ilm, the second thing was only for the sake of Allah, your intention. The third thing is الشفقة على من يأمره. This is a key for da'wah. These five things are the keys that you're going to utilize when giving da'wah. Have mercy upon the person you're giving da'wah to. Don't look down upon him. Don't humiliate him. Sometimes when we become over motivated and we want to give da'wah, we embarrass the person we're giving da'wah to. That's why the scholars say, if you advise someone in front of a big gathering and you embarrass him, you have turned him away from deen. Look for the opportune moment. He may be in seclusion, he may be in solitary, he may be alone, he may be alone, and at that time give him da'wah. Have mercy upon him, be soft to him, be kind to him. I'll leave you with one hadith and one qawl of one sahabi. You want to become a da'i, my brothers, memorize this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنزِلُ النَّاسِ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. Deal with a person according to his level. And Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, كَلِّمُ النَّاسِ بِقَدْرِ مَنَازِلِهِمْ. Speak to people according to their level. When you have given da'wah to the person, be kind to him, be soft to him. When we read the ayat today, Allahu Akbar, we read it today. Fir'aun is, Musa alayhi salam is told by Allah Rabbul Izzah that you have to go to Fir'aun and give da'wah to Fir'aun. What does Allah say to Musa and Harun? فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Speak to him with a soft tone. Speak to him with compassion, with affection. Speak to him nicely. So the third aspect of da'wah is to be kind to the person. The fourth is, and this is also key, you may think, I may think sometimes, I've been coming to Orlando for 6 years, no change. On this road of da'wah, you have to have patience. Our teacher in Darul Uloom used to always tell us, he used to tell us, you came out of Darul Uloom, you graduated, you went back to your locality, you gave da'wah to a drug dealer on the road, or a kid on the road, a youngster on the road for 1 year. 1 year, every day you're giving him da'wah, calling him to the masjid, but he doesn't come. After 1 year, you lose hope and you stop giving him da'wah. Think to yourself, you've been in Darul Uloom for 6 years, how much have you improved? Have patience when you give da'wah. People are not going to change their lives overnight. You have to, at the end of the day, number two was for the sake of Allah. Remember one thing, and one of the famous basketball players said it. He was told to choose between the number 8 and the number 24. I don't want to take his name in the masjid. You guys are looking at me with blank faces. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So he was asked a question with regards to him and his training and his routine. So he said, I learned one thing in this journey of my basketball life. And that was, success lies in the journey, not in the destination. Those were his words. Similarly, when we give da'wah, success lies in giving the da'wah, not the outcome of the da'wah. I went to someone's house, I gave him da'wah. Whether he comes to the masjid or not does not determine my success. My success is me going and calling him and inviting him. Whether he comes or not, that determines his success. The fourth is patience. And finally, number five is, and this is also a key, we give da'wah to bring actions into our own lives. Some of the first people that are going to be thrown into Jahannam, head first, is that Qari who used to recite Quran, so people would say, what an amazing reciter. Was that person, he'll be thrown into Jahannam, and people will see him and they'll say, but you're the one that told us to do this, you're the one that told us to abstain from this. And he'll tell them, I told you to do it, I never done it. He'll tell them, I told you to stay away from it, I never stayed away from it. So the fifth is that we learn to become people of actions. So when we give da'wah towards something, because we ourselves are acting upon it, it makes it, our words hold weight. But at the same time, my brothers, that does not mean, don't let shaitan deceive you and think, you got no deen in your life, how can you give da'wah? There's two obligations. One is to act upon deen, one is to give da'wah. If you don't act upon deen, but you give da'wah, you're only doing one thing wrong. But if you don't act upon deen and you don't give da'wah also, you're doing two things wrong. So the lesson of the 10th juz of the Quran and the ahadith, time doesn't permit. There's so many ahadith about enjoining good and forbidding evil. Otherwise, if there are people amongst you who can stop the evil but they don't stop it, and the people amongst the community are doing so much wrong, a punishment comes, and when the punishment is coming, an angel will tell Allah, oh Allah, but there's a pious person there, there's an abid there, there's a worshipper there, how can you destroy everyone? Allah will say, he was only concentrating on his worship. He never enjoined the people towards the good, and he never forbidded them from the evil. That punishment comes and takes everyone together. It's not going to be like, okay, he was doing a sin, she was doing a sin, the punishment takes both of them. No, the punishment afflicts everyone. We will all have to face the wrath of Allah. من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه وذلك أضعف الإيمان. Do you want to go in Jannah and you don't see your father there? Do you want to go in Jannah and you don't see your mother there? Do you want to go in Jannah and you don't see your brother or your sister or your own child, you don't see them in Jannah? You have to give da'wah, you have to talk, you have to create an environment of goodness, of khair, of amr bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. Open the books, like I said, time doesn't permit. Open books, read the hadith. What did Rasulullah ﷺ say about enjoining good and forbidding evil? He said, if you leave this, then Allah will place people as your leaders who will be oppressors. Hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ. We've left this great act of Rasulullah, this noble act. We don't want me, I'm only worried, nafsi. And then we say, brother, you go talk to my brother. You go talk to my dad. You go talk to my sister. We have to also become beacons of guidance. Because if we talk about Allah, we will benefit the most. If I ask anyone here, and I'll end with this question. If someone told you to speak about Allah for half an hour, can we speak about Allah for half an hour? With knowledge, with ilm. Not just talking nonsense. Ask yourselves the question. And the thing is, there's many forms, but sometimes you want to do things in a group from the masjid. Amr bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar is happening, and they're not asking you to come every day, twice a week. Go talk to the people of the locality. There's darkness everywhere. You want to create a society of goodness for your own kids. You think your kids are going to be on deen if the society is like this? If we ourselves are not on deen, you think our kids are going to be on deen? We ourselves don't give importance to Allah. You think your kid is going to give importance to Allah? The youth are a reflection of what's happening at home. Many a time people say, brother, the youth are not in the masjid. The youth. Everywhere you go, the elders are saying, youth. The child is only a reflection of what's happening at home. Brother, bring my son to the masjid. What about you? You don't want to come, your child's not going to come. Your child will look at you and he'll follow. He'll emulate, you're his role model. Al-waladu sirrun li-abih. The child is the secret of the father. Whatever the father does, the child does. So even if you don't want to think globally or locally, at least think within your own home. Let me become a person of da'wah. The sunnah, inshallah, of today, between the two sujood, we come down, we go into the first sajda, then we sit before we go into the second sajda. There's a comprehensive dua of Rasulullah ﷺ that can be said. Rabbi ghfirli, O Allah, forgive me. Warhamni, have mercy on me. Wahdini, O Allah, guide me. Wa'afini, O Allah, grant me goodness. Warzukni, O Allah, grant me risk. Rabbi ghfirli, warhamni, wa'afini, wahdini, warzukni. This is what a comprehensive dua. Goodness, forgiveness, wealth, rahmah, mercy. What more do you want? And you're sitting anyway. But instead of sitting quietly, make this dua. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَرْحَمْنِي وَعَافِنِي وَهْدِنِي وَرُزُقْنِي. And then the ayah was تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْظِ كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت.